Nearly 61 million Americans volunteered in their communities in 2007, giving 8.1 billion hours of service worth more than $158 billion. That's according to a Volunteering in America report released this week by the Corporation for National and Community Service. Were you one of those 61 million? How do you volunteer and why do you volunteer? 1-800-642-1234. In Madison, 263-1890. Good morning. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 10 minutes past 6 o'clock on this Wednesday, July the 30th. We will talk about the latest research on volunteering this hour and figure out who's doing the volunteering and why it matters so much. And maybe brag a little bit that Wisconsin is in the top 10 states when it comes to volunteering. Tied for number 10, to be exact. Our guest is Bob Grimm, Director of Research and Policy Development at the Corporation for National and Community Service. Good morning.
Good morning, Joy. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. Thanks very much for joining us.
My pleasure.
So you put together a whole bunch of research and posted it on a new website. Why'd you do that?
Well, I mean, one of the things we want to do is allow people to really get under the hood of volunteering and find out what's going on in their local community, because volunteering is not something that's just nice for the community. It's actually essential for communities to work well. Communities that have higher levels of volunteerism actually, you know, function much better. More parents are engaged in the schools. More people are paying attention and engaged in making sure government works well. People know their neighbors and trust them, and that trust makes a huge difference on how well communities work. And so what we did for the first time is provide volunteer trend information on over 160 communities across the country, so people could really start seeing volunteering as an important community benchmark, just like poverty rates and unemployment rates, as something that they should track and look to improve from year to year.
Yeah. So what are some of the important trends that you found?
Well, there's two really, I think, exciting trends that's going on, and then one challenging trend. One is that boomers are set to create an experience boom in volunteering. And what I mean by that is the sheer size of them, the fact that they are going to live longer, they actually have more skills and education than any past generation, and the fact that they actually want to work longer, and working actually makes you more likely to continue volunteering, that we're going to see a doubling of the number of older American volunteers over the next few decades. So there's great opportunities there to really, you know, take that experience and help address a lot of compelling community challenges. On the other end of the spectrum, and you see this in Wisconsin in a very strong numbers, young people today are much more interested in serving their community than a couple generations ago. Recently, there was a 25-year high in entering college students' belief that it was essential or important to help others. And you see this with incredible young people volunteer rates in Wisconsin and Milwaukee. And so there's two really great opportunities there. One of the key challenges we have is that nationally, and even in Wisconsin the last couple of years, volunteering has declined a little bit. And one of the reasons that we're seeing that trend is that there's kind of a leaky bucket in volunteering. And what I mean by that is one out of every three people who volunteer in a year don't volunteer the next year. So there's high, you know, enthusiasm to go out, but for one reason or another, the experience isn't satisfying enough or it isn't compelling enough that they stay volunteering. And so one of the things we're really providing with the website, volunteeringinamerica.gov, is all kinds of resources for local nonprofit organizations on how to engage and keep people volunteering with their organization.
Yeah. Talk about the need for volunteering. I understand that the economy right now is even hurting the volunteer effort in that, like, let's say, gas prices and that sort of thing. People are less likely to drive around and deliver Meals on Wheels, for example.
That's right. I mean, you know, when there are economic pressures, it can be a little more challenging to volunteer. But at the same time, volunteering is even more vital at a time like this. It's even more important that people do go out and volunteer, and people who are volunteering, they don't stop volunteering. And so some of the things we've provided is, you know, there are some cost-effective ways you can still help an organization. There's virtual volunteering. You can do some of that where you don't have to always leave your home or even leave your office. I have a person who works with me who helps a local nonprofit by helping do website design mm-hmm. from her office. Similarly, there are, you know, you can get, you know, tax benefits from the cost of the travel when you volunteer. So there's information like that on the website as well, so people know about those kind of things.
We are talking with Bob Grimm, Director of Research and Policy Development at the Corporation for National and Community Service, which has released a report this week on volunteering in America. And we want to know from you, do you volunteer your time? What do you do and why? 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, in Madison, 263-1890. Or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Maybe you also want to let us know what volunteer opportunities are available in your community. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. You're listening to the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine, 17 minutes past 6 o'clock on this Wednesday, July the 30th. Coming up this afternoon, it's At Issue with Ben Marins between 4 and 6 this afternoon. After 5, as oil and gas prices soar, many are turning to electric vehicles or hybrids. At Issue after 5, Ben and his guest will discuss the latest developments in the electric car industry. That's after 5 this afternoon. We're talking about volunteering this hour, and a new report on volunteering talks about why people volunteer, trends in volunteering, and needs in volunteering. And we wonder what questions you have and maybe what stories you have, whether you're a volunteer or not. The research shows that Wisconsin ranks number 10 in the nation when it comes to volunteerism. 1-800-642-1234. We have an open line for you. You can brag a little bit about what you do, or maybe you want to tell us about a need in your community for volunteers. In Madison, 263-1890, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Our guest is Bob Grimm, Director of Research and Policy Development at the Corporation for National and Community Service, which put together this report. The report also finds that Madison is the third in terms of mid-sized cities in the nation in terms of volunteering. And I read here that it helps to be a college town for volunteering.
Indeed. We found that college towns like Madison and Iowa City, and if you also see places like Ann Arbor, they have incredibly high volunteer rates. And the reason for that is that it's multifold. One is that you've got institutions like the University of Wisconsin, and you see this in Madison, but you see it also in Milwaukee, extremely high volunteer rates that have a strong service ethic. I mean, it's well known that University of Wisconsin is, you know, the number one place for Peace Corps volunteers, mm-hmm. for example. And so you see in Madison this strong service ethic. So you've got a lot of young people volunteering. You've also got an educated workforce. And you've got in Madison, you've also got the public service element, and all those things combine to create a volunteer rate in Madison that is extremely high compared to cities across the country. They're third among mid-sized cities, and Milwaukee was actually seventh among cities. And so you've got two areas that really have incredibly high volunteer rates.
Yeah. Now, Provo, Utah led the nation, as did Utah in general, right, in terms of volunteering. Why is that?
Well, you really see there that the religious volunteering has really pushed and promoted volunteering in the state and in Provo. I mean, just to give you an example, in Wisconsin and in the nation, about one out of every three people who volunteer through religious organization. In Provo, almost 78% of the volunteering is occurring through a religious organization. So the religious element and the Mormon faith seems to really have boosted the volunteer rates there. The thing I would point out about volunteering with religious organizations is that we find that a half or more of the volunteering that people do with religious organizations are outside of the congregation, is work they're doing out in the community. So it's not all, you know, just volunteering with the congregation, but it's a lot of the volunteering that people do with religious organizations is out in the community, mentoring or helping with the shelter or things of that nature.
Yeah. Do you, any, I don't know, a profile on the typical volunteer or why people volunteer?
Yeah, you know, one of the things I think that is a common misconception about volunteering is that some people think that volunteers are people with a lot of time on their hands, you know, or people who, you know, have the time to volunteer. But actually what we find is the typical volunteer tends to be female, tends to be working, tends to even maybe have kids in the home. I mean, one of the things that is very important to think about volunteering is that the most important thing about volunteering is not necessarily about time, as it is about creating compelling opportunities that people want to make the time for. I mean, right now, people who don't volunteer actually watch hundreds and hundreds of additional hours of TV a year compared to people who do volunteer. So it's not necessarily time. It's really creating compelling opportunities that people say, I want to make time for that. This is really important to me. And they get volunteering to be part of their lifestyle. And actually, there are huge health benefits for people who really volunteer regularly. It's you know, volunteering is actually kind of like exercise. It can be good for you and good for the community. We find as people who regularly volunteer, and there's a number of rigorous studies that show this, people actually live longer, have lower rates of depression, and they recover more quickly from illnesses.
And that's because they feel better about doing good for others?
It's a variety of things. There, one is it, people who volunteer, and this is particularly beneficial as you get older, volunteering helps you have an active lifestyle, and that particularly produces health benefits. But also there's interesting studies where they have looked at, you know, when you are engaged in charitable behaviors, serotonin is released in the brain that is protective for the body. And so there's also that there's the positive feelings you get from the difference you're making. And so volunteering is, you know, just like regularly exercising. Regularly volunteering leads you to be active. It leads you to have stronger social networks, which really is very beneficial for health-wise. And actually, to be honest, stronger social networks is actually beneficial for you in your professions as well. So volunteering can be very beneficial when you're a younger professional because it helps you network, helps you stay, get more connected, know more people, and that can help you in your career. But it also, having those strong networks and being active can also be extremely beneficial for you as you age health-wise.
Yeah. Do you have any theories as to why it's not necessarily, you know, retired folks who are doing most of the volunteering, that it's working mothers who are doing most of the volunteering?
I mean, part of it is the fact that it's part of volunteering is how many times you're asked and how many opportunities you're presented with. And sometimes what happens when a person might retire from work, they actually lose a number of their, you know, social networks, a number of their social connections. And so even though they may have all these skills, I mean, I mentioned, you know, a while back that there's this great experience boom that's coming, that's a great opportunity for communities across the country. But we have to invite people and ask people to keep volunteering. And so the reason why you've got people, mothers who are working being most likely to volunteer is because, you know, they're asked to volunteer when they're, you know, at the little league. They're asked to volunteer at work, and so there's actually more opportunities for them to be invited to serve. And when people are less connected, they're less likely to be, you know, invited to volunteer.
Mm-hmm. Well, again, we are taking your calls, your questions about volunteering and your experiences with volunteering at 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You would think with Wisconsin being number 10 in the nation in terms of the percentage of people volunteering in this state that we would have the lines filled right now with you talking about what you're doing as a volunteer. Maybe you're sleeping in. But Louise in Hillsboro is with us. Hi, Louise. You're on the air.
Hi. Thank you too much.
Great.
there we go. I am a nurse with hospice, and I don't volunteer, but we have so many volunteers involved with hospice, and they are so valuable, and they make such a difference for the people we take care of, and I just want to say how much we appreciate our volunteers.
Well, I think that's one. So you work at the hospice?
Yes, I'm one of the hospice nurses, yes.
Yeah, and volunteers are certainly valuable there, right, Bob?
Definitely. I mean, one of the things that I think that it can, all volunteer can often be overlooked as to how essential it is to get so many things done in communities. I mean, from hospice programs to others, things wouldn't get done without volunteers. And as the caller's pointed out, it's so important to recognize your volunteers, to support them, to really keep people volunteering. You have to actually invest in those volunteers. To get the most out of them, you have to spend a little bit, you know, as an organization to, you know, support them just as you would with paid staff. But if you do that, they'll keep coming back year after year. And I think that more and more places are recognizing that for all kinds of things, you know, hospice care, independent living, or, you know, allowing people to stay in their homes, that volunteers are an essential part of the web to keep people, you know, doing well in their community.
Thank you, Louise, very much for the call. Mike in Reedsburg is with us now. Hi, Mike.
Good morning. Good morning. I guess I should start off by saying I've done a ton of volunteering, especially this spring with all the flooding here in Reedsburg, and then probably sandbagged until I could be called myself a sandbag expert. But I'm an avid listener of Wisconsin Public Radio, and I have to ask myself, and not to be mean to you, sir, you certainly seem very knowledgeable about the topic, but who cares how many people volunteer? And was there money spent on this survey like so many others? I guess I have to ask myself, what difference does it make if we know how many people volunteer and what classification they come from and where they come from? And I really see that the survey itself is kind of pointless.
Well, why is there a point to this, Bob Grimm?
Sure. Mm-hmm. Well, I'll tell you, there's been, for the first time, communities have the kind of information on what are important trends and what are areas that they can actually do better. I mean, I'll give you one example. Governor Schwarzenegger's staff has used this information to develop new policy proposals on how to engage people in service in the state of California, because they were actually low on the level of volunteerism, and there are a number of areas that they were not really being able to engage volunteers as well as other places around the country. So they looked at and talked to local organizations and developed strategies to be able to engage more people in volunteering. And we see this in a number of places. Local organizations like the American Cancer Society, the March of Dimes, and other groups really use this information to understand what's going on in their community and how they can develop strategies to address trends that are going on in volunteering. And particularly the fact that in some communities, Wisconsin has such high volunteer rates, but in some communities, there are places where 5 or 6 out of the 10 people who volunteer in a year don't volunteer the next.
Yeah, let me hold you there, and we will pick up on this point after we check news from National Public Radio. Thanks, Mike, for the call, and thanks for filling all those sandbags. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. It's 6:36 on this Wednesday, July the 30th. We're talking about volunteering in America. Nearly 61 million Americans volunteered in their communities in 2007. And according to a report released this week by the Corporation for National and Community Service, they gave 8.1 billion hours of service worth more than $158 billion to their communities. We're wondering if you were one of those 61 million volunteers. We wonder if you volunteer and why. 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. In Madison, 263-1890. Or send an email to talk@wpr.org. A lot of people do volunteer in Wisconsin. The study ranks the state 10th in the nation when it comes to the percentage of people over the age of 16 who perform some sort of volunteer service. Bob Grimm is our guest. He is Director of Research and Policy Development at the Corporation for National and Community Service. Just before news time, we heard from a caller who says he's a volunteer, but wonders why it matters to do research like this. Why does it matter to know how many people volunteer and trends in volunteering and why people volunteer? And you were saying, Bob Grimm?
Well, one of the things I was saying is that, you know, The caller clearly recognizes how important volunteering is as a volunteer himself, and what I'm stressing here is that communities are realizing that high levels of volunteerism is a huge asset and an important part of whether a community works well in a number of ways. And if they have low levels of volunteerism, the information we're providing lets you understand what are some of the factors that might make volunteering in your city more challenging. Do you have incredibly long commute times? What are some strategies that you can use based on the reason why older people in your community may not be volunteering? Or what are the strategies that keep boomers or young people volunteering year after year? And all that information is available, and lots of local nonprofits as well as community leaders have found that information extremely helpful to kind of demystify volunteering. I mean, you know, we just talked about how volunteers actually are people who are quite busy and who are highly connected, but that's not the common perception among some people when you ask them who is a volunteer. So this really kind of, you know, provides you a good sense of what's going on and trends in volunteering. And you know, the caller also talked about sandbagging for floods, and one of the new pieces of information we're providing is information about volunteerism. And that's kind of a new term that people who are willing to travel long distances to volunteer, and what are the kind of groups that are most likely to do that, and that is an interesting phenomenon because we do a lot of relief and recovery efforts through our AmeriCorps programs and others down in the Gulf, in Mississippi and Louisiana, continuing to help with Katrina relief, and we found that last year one out of every four volunteers in Mississippi and one out of every five volunteers in Louisiana were from out-of-state residents, which is pretty amazing if you think about it. There are people who traveled sometimes quite long distances to that state to help with the disaster recovery efforts. So there's also an interesting growing trend, and you see it a lot among young people or individuals who are don't have kids, who are willing to travel long distances to help with disasters like Katrina and even like the floods we see recently in the Midwest.
We go now to Patrick in Milwaukee. Hi, Patrick. You're on the air.
Hi. I volunteer at an adult literacy center, so one-on-one tutoring with just people in the community who want to learn to read or need ESL classes. I found it to be very, it's just something that gives you a good feeling. You know, I guess I'm kind of an atypical volunteer. I'm, 27-year-old male, not married, not religious, but just kind of fell into it because I was in kind of a rut, and, you know, it just turned out to be a real positive experience every week. You know, I can't say enough good things about it. But the real reason I wanted to call was the way that I got hooked up with this this volunteer opportunity was via the internet. There was a website, and I believe it's called the Volunteer Center of Greater Milwaukee, and that was great. It was just asked you for some basic personal information about, you know, your age, what your interests are, whether you want to volunteer with a group or whether you want to work with adults or children, you know, and it connected me with several opportunities and, you know, via email, and it was just very easy, and I wound up getting some great experiences that were really tailored to my needs, just as somebody who wanted to do some volunteering. So I just wanted to put that out there. It's really easy to find a good way to get some get some volunteer time in your life.
Patrick, thank you so much. That's great advice, because I think a lot of people do want to volunteer, Bob Grimm, but sometimes it's, well, gee, I'd like to help the elderly, or I'd like to help animals, or I'd like to help children, and you're not really sure where to start or what to do. You can maybe get matched up by doing something like that, right?
That's right. And I think one of the key things to having a good volunteer experience is making sure it's a good fit with your passion and your interest. As a caller identified. And there are a number of online sites that you can go to find out about volunteer opportunities. There's something called volunteer.gov that you can go to. There's volunteermatch.org. And there's lots of local communities, as the caller pointed out, have online volunteer databases. And the technology today is really helping people get volunteer experiences that are a good fit with them. So as the caller said, you can go to one of these sites, you can type in your zip code, you can start putting in some of your passions and interests, and then volunteer opportunities that are a good match for you can be presented to you. Mm-hmm. And then you can kind of choose among those. And so going online and checking out, you know, something like volunteer.gov or volunteermatch.org or seeing if your local community volunteer center or some other group, United Way, has an online database is a good way to kind of put your toe in the water, see what opportunities might be out there, and see which one might be the best fit for you, because it's, you know, just like you know, marriage or anything else, it's a good match. Volunteering is making a good match between your mm-hmm. the time you have and your passion, your interest.
So is Patrick atypical? You said he was a 27-year-old, single guy who's not particularly religious, but wanted to make a difference.
Well, I guess he's atypical in the fact that women do volunteer at higher rates than men, mm-hmm. and that volunteering rates are higher actually among people who are in their later 40s, 30s and 40s than they are among people in their late 20s. So he's maybe atypical in that way, but I think the experience he had is much more typical of a volunteer who, you know, feels like they're getting tremendous benefits personally out of it, as well as making a difference in the lives of the people they're working with or helping.
Thank you again, Patrick, for the call. Jim in Abbotsford is next. Hi, you're on the air.
Good morning.
Morning.
Good morning.
What do you do?
I am a member of the Lions Club,
mm-hmm.
and I and my wife have been members of Lions and JCs for over 40 years. We are now moving into retirement, and we're finding that we spend most of our time in volunteers.
Mm-hmm.
We go on eyeglass missions to Mexico and Honduras. My wife is a nurse, and she's done medical missions. I'm also a director of the Wisconsin Lions Foundation, which has a Lions camp at Rochelle, Wisconsin, a beautiful place for kids, and we service about 1,500 kids every year.
Yeah,
we go to the camp, we clean up at the camp, and mm-hmm. so forth. But we got involved in volunteerism early in life. We had four lovely children and eight grandchildren, and they're all healthy, and we feel it's a time to give something back. So it's a personal satisfaction for us to see what you can do for others.
Yeah,
we've continued to be very active in the Lions organization, and there's 24,000 Lions and Lionesses in the state of Wisconsin and 700 clubs, and so almost every club is doing some special volunteer programs. So, and of course, my job as a director is to encourage people to continue to do that, to continue to give. About 17 years ago, our state of Wisconsin Lions, we've collected eyeglasses for many, many years and have a recycling center for eyeglasses due 500,000-600,000 pair a year at Rochelle, Wisconsin, right in the center of the state. And as we collect those glasses, we felt that using those glasses and working with that would be an excellent program. And we were invited to Mexico to work on the very first mission from Wisconsin. And we said, well, we'll take our week vacation and go down there and do that.
Well, Jim, good for you. And we have a weather break coming up. But Bob Grimm, briefly, does your research take into account the service groups like the Lions Club?
It does, and mm-hmm. and actually there are more volunteering with those groups slightly in Wisconsin than there is in the United States. And one of the other things I want to quickly mention that the caller emphasizes is getting people involved in volunteering at a young age. That's actually one of the most valuable strategies to get people into a lifetime of service. A young person whose parent volunteers is twice as likely to volunteer themselves. And promoting service, particularly service learning opportunities where service is connected with the learning going on in schools, is extremely important to do at a young age because that will set people on a lifetime of service.
We will talk more about volunteering after this weather break here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. This is the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine, 12 minutes before 7 o'clock on this Wednesday, July the 30th. From the record federal deficit to presidential candidates' plans to tackle the economy, coming up in our next hour, I'll talk with a guest economist about all the economic news this week. Right now, we're talking about volunteering in America with Bob Grimm, the Director of Research and Policy Development at the Corporation for National and Community Service. The group has released a report this week on volunteering in America, which talks about who volunteers and why they volunteer, trends in volunteering, and needs in volunteering. And we're welcoming your questions and your own stories, your own experiences with volunteering. Do you volunteer? Why? 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. Back to the phones we go. Dan in Madison is with us now. Hi, Dan.
Hi, Joy. How are you doing this morning?
I'm good. Thanks for calling.
Great. I participate with the United Way of Dane County and enjoy it immensely because I get an opportunity to see how the dollars are distributed into the community and get involved with the various partner agencies. But I did want to comment on Bob's reference to opportunities to volunteer. I know in Dane County, through the United Way, you have volunteeryourtime.org is an option, and 211 is easy as placing a call on your phone to 211. Opens up a lot of avenues for volunteerism.
And that's just for Dane County, right?
Dane County, yep. Mm-hmm. And I also agree with the idea of getting your children involved. I think that that's critical because that's going to pay off for years to come for the community. But the reason I mentioned to the lady who answered the phone why I called is similar to the reference to Utah and church. You know, I'm a big believer in stewardship, and you know when people go to church, you know the big mantra there is you know show up, give up your dollars, and give up your time. And I think from a volunteer standpoint, the community impact, I think that stewardship should be in place as well. You know, a lot of people in this community in this state do a wonderful job giving of their dollars, but to then wrap around that giving of their time, it just creates such an exponential impact for our community. So I think we're very fortunate here in Wisconsin from that standpoint that we have such strong stewardship.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Why do you think, Bob Grimm, Wisconsin is in the top 10 when it comes to volunteering, and why does it vary so much from state to state?
Well, there's a variety of reasons. I mean, one that I think is clear about Wisconsin, though, is that there is a culture in the Midwest that maybe from long historical times, it could even be from the frontier, where people really needed to work with their neighbors, and that has really spurred a lot of volunteerism in Wisconsin, coming each generation passing on that kind of ethic compared to others. There's a really large nonprofit community in Wisconsin compared to other places. In Wisconsin, people really stick with volunteering more than other places. What I mean by that is a place like Milwaukee, almost 8 out of every 10 people who volunteer in a year keep volunteering the next year. Mm-hmm. In some places, it's almost, 6 out of 10 people don't continue volunteering the next year. Similarly, there is, good education levels and even shorter commute times and things like that that help encourage volunteerism, where some places, a place like Miami that has some of the highest commute times, has lower home ownership rates, and that affects volunteerism because people might feel a little less connected, or there's a little more mobile population, and so it's a little harder to get, people come into the community and they leave before they really get that connected with it. But I think you can really see that Wisconsin's actually has this long tradition of high volunteerism. One of the things we've looked at is that the Midwest in general, even from a few decades ago, has had really high levels of volunteerism compared to some other parts of the country. So there's this, I think, long tradition, and part of the going back to the importance of sharing that tradition of service to others, to your children, is something that appears to be working. And also, I think there are just educational institutions from K through 12 to the universities that really have a strong service ethic and promote it among young people.
Yeah, and one of the getting back to the whole purpose of the study, one of them was to try to figure out how to stem that leaky bucket phenomenon that you referenced, the people that volunteer but then drop out of volunteering.
Right, right. And one of the ways to do that is to, as one of the callers pointed out, really ask people what are their interests and what are their passions, and making sure that people get a good experience. People who drop out tell stories about showing up to volunteer and waiting around 30 or 40 minutes with nothing to do before they're assigned something, or feeling that the work they were asked to do sometimes didn't seem like they was that connected to the mission, or they didn't see how it was connected to the mission. Similarly, one of the things that we're promoting is that a lot of people have a lot of experiences and skills. I mean, particularly you think of all the people, Wisconsin is just like other states, there's lots of people with skills and experiences that could help a nonprofit who can't afford to maybe purchase those skills. But sometimes people don't think about them as gaining, you know, using volunteers for them. Just to give you one short story, in Dallas, a group of management consultants were recruited one day to do a traditional volunteer activity, sort socks and shirts. And while they were doing that, they were in this thrift store, and they said, well, we actually have some expertise in merchandising. How about we help you develop a better sales plan? And they helped the thrift store improve their sales dramatically over a number of months by using their skills as well.
Yeah.
And so one of the things that seems useful to address the leaky bucket is to really think about providing volunteer experiences that, at least in some way, tap some of the skills and experiences that people have.
Yeah, people would rather do that than sort socks.
Well, at least have some variety,
right
in their of their experiences.
Lynn and Mequon, hi, you're on the air.
Good morning.
Morning.
Good morning.
Thank you for this show. I obviously think volunteerism is important. I work often with high school and college-age students, and I'm pleased that many schools are now offering or actually requiring a service component in their curriculum and as part of even graduation requirements. But one thing that is distressing, and it seems you've touched on this now, is that students, as opposed to feeling a calling or a real willingness, it's an obligation and something that they're required, so that they talk about, well, I have to get my hours in. And, I could help here because I have to get my hours in to meet their service requirements. So I think obviously it's important to have students be trained in this thought process or cultivated to understand that it isn't about them, that it's about others, and the motivation hopefully can be drawn out in the right way.
Yeah. What do you think of those mandatory volunteer requirements?
Well, you know, I think it's a real it's a really interesting, debatable issue. You know, there recently was a study about required service opportunities that found that when people were required to do service in school, they didn't really initially like it. But 8 years later, the people who were required to do some service, as opposed to people who didn't do any service in high school, actually were more likely to be volunteering and voting and engage their community than the people who didn't do the required service. So, you know, I think that the case is really open, and it's a big debate about whether you want to require service. But you know, there's some interesting findings out there. But I think what the caller is really pointing out is what you want to make sure to do is provide compelling and exciting opportunities for youth. And one of the ways to do that is to really see youth as an amazing asset and offering them opportunities that they get excited about and that really do take advantage of some of their skills. I mean, young people today are amazingly tech savvy. I mean, I've seen a sixth grader develop an amazing website for a local nonprofit. So just, thinking about, I mean, sometimes you have to kind of reimagine or expand your horizons of what young people could do as volunteers, because sometimes it's very amazing what they can do if you allow them the opportunity.
Yeah, we do now have a number of callers who wanted to share their volunteer experience with us, but we're just about out of time, and I wanted to leave the final moments for you, Bob Grimm, to maybe talk a little bit about the future need for volunteers in the short term.
Well, I think given the economic pressures today, it's extremely important for people to volunteer and to keep volunteering. And no matter what the level of volunteerism is in your community, there's always room for growth. One of the promising trends that we've recently seen is that there is a growth in the amount of people who are doing a lot of volunteering. And what I mean by a lot is they're doing 100 or more hours. That actually,
wow.
That rate is actually increasing.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a good sign, because people who are volunteering, they're maybe seeing more need in their community, and they're stepping up their volunteering. And so we really encourage people who are volunteering to keep volunteering. And if you're not volunteering yet, this is an important, vital time for a community. And if you do volunteer, you're not only going to make huge difference in your community, but you're also, as many of the callers have talked about, you're going to make a huge difference in yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And volunteering really is, as I kind of mentioned before, it's something that is good for the community, and it's good for you, and it's not just something that's nice in the community. It really is essential for communities to work well.
Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you. It was my pleasure.
And you can check out this report on the website volunteeringinamerica.gov. Thanks to Cynthia Schuster and to Michelle Kofel for producing this hour. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.